পীড়া সুন্দরী
Everybody's here in Vrindavan. It's even more crowded than it was for Navadvipa Puri. This is very nice to see. So this is will be a difficult class because we have to talk in just under an hour about the significance, importance and beauty of Vrindavan Dham. So factually speaking, it's not possible to do that. But we'll go over a few points. That much we can do. You should turn to the page. Where did Braj? 38A, I think it is. Where the list on Braj Mandala is there. First, we see the prominent worshipable personalities. I think everyone knows who they are. Sri Sri Radha Shyama Sundara. And here, of course, in our Krishna Balaram Mandir, the prominent worshipable personalities are also Sri Sri Krishna Balaram and Sri Sri Gauranitai. Srila Prabhupada wanted to show the world that Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda and Krishna and Balaram are the same personalities. and that they can bestow all mercy, all strength, and all spiritual opulences upon those who take shelter of them. So what do Krishna and Balaram give? If you pray to Lord Balaram, because he is the Dham, and he is also the representative of Guru, so if you pray to Lord Balaram, he can give you access to the service of Radha and Krishna. So therefore, because this Krishna Balaram Mandir is meant to be like the entranceway or the gateway for the whole world to enter into Sri Vrindavan Dham, Braj Mandala Dham, in the proper mood, with the proper attitude and the proper understanding, and not to take this as a very easy and superficial thing, though I come to Vrindavan and automatically something magic is supposed to happen without any austerity and without any proper understanding of philosophy and tattva of these principles. So Prabhupada first he emphasized on Krishna Balaram. And by the worship of Krishna Balaram and praying to Lord Balaram, then he gives us access to Radhashyamasundas, the secrets of their pastimes. And it's also a notable fact that when we do Brajmandal Prikrama, Chaurasi course, the first place we go, the first forest that we go to is Talavan. And in Talavan we hear about the killing, how Lord Balaram killed the Danukasura demon. And it's emphasized there that this is so that we get, he will kill the anattas in our heart, so we can proceed to enter into Vrindavan Dham very peacefully and ecstatically. So the mood of Vrindavan is described here as Madhurya. So Navadvip is Udarya, or very compassionate. Very much mercy is available there. And Jagannath Puri was Aishwarya, so much opulence. And you go there and you pray and you can get everything fulfilled by Lord Jagannath's mercy. Dharma, Artha, Karma, and also Moksha are the usual requests of the persons who go to that place. But they don't come to Vrindavan very easily, because when they come here they see that it looks quite dirty and there's garbage everywhere and there are pigs wandering in the street and they see monkeys who harass you and steal your glasses whenever they get a chance and eat your shoes and do all kinds of things. And they see their sewers are open and people pass in the street and they see all these things and they think, this is just a village. It's an old holy place, but it's ununderstandable by them. Therefore, there are so many people, if you would like to do a census and go to Delhi and ask all the people in Delhi, how many of you have been to Vrindavan? You'd find a vast number of people who don't have to pay for a plane fare. They only have to come 3 hours on a bus, it costs them about 30 rupees, and they would never think of coming here. And Srila Prabhupada points that out. They think this is a place full of thieves, so they won't come to Vrindavan. So these are the things, all of these things cover the Dham, so that people cannot actually understand what is Vrindavan. Because Vrindavan, what is this sweetness, Madhurya? This sweetness is the love of Radha and Krishna for each other, and the pastimes that take place as a result of that loving exchange. So not everybody in the world is interested in this or eligible for this. Therefore, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that the Dham is covered by a thin layer of the modes of nature, a very fine layer. And those who are adverse to actually understanding themselves as a servant of Radha and Krishna, but they still want to enjoy life just like Radha and Krishna enjoy, they want that kind of pleasure. They have to reside on top of this very thin layer of the material modes. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur also explains that Vrindavan is covered by harsh words, harsh weather, and one time he says, and salty water. And another place he says, and thorny trees. So we see all of these things, and the Vrajavasis, although actually if you listen, if you can understand their language and their speaking, it's of course very sweet, but there's so much, ask paisa, give me some money, always being harassed by somebody, go to Radhakund and they follow you all around, and these are all obstructions, so that a person who's unqualified will not be inclined to stay or to come at all. But inside, just as sometimes you get some kind of a nut and you have to very hard to crack it, but once you crack it inside, the nut is very tasty. So it is similar with Vrindavan. If you can go inside, you're very fortunate. So the significance of the Dham is that this is the topmost place. The topmost, there's nothing higher than Vrindavan Dham. So we see throughout the Shastras that all levels of devotees, the Kumaras, Narada Muni, Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, anyone who's anyone, glorifies the residence of Vrindavan and prays to follow in their footsteps. So all the residents of Vrindavan going higher and higher and higher, who is the topmost person in Vrindavan, the topmost lover of Krishna, the topmost giver of pleasure to Krishna, is Srimati Radharani herself. But all the residents of Vrindavan, we're now talking about the eternal residents of eternal Vrindavan Dham, they all love Krishna completely and selflessly. This is the specialty. There are different degrees of love of Krishna. Even in the spiritual world, there are different degrees. And it is said that in Mathura, the example given of the Madhurya of Mathura, because there is Madhurya everywhere, but Madhurya is prominent in Vrindavan. The Madhurya of Mathura is Kubja. Kubja wanted to meet with Krishna. She wanted to associate with Krishna in a loving mood. But her mood was for herself. She became very much attracted to Krishna's beauty. She said, "Oh, I can't leave you now. Please come to my house. I want more of your association." She wanted to enjoy herself by experiencing the beauty of Krishna. Then higher than that are the queens of Dwarka. They also have madhurya, or love for Krishna. So what is their mood? They love Krishna, but they also have so many sons. And they have other family members. So their love is divided. It's transcendental. It's not material like in this world. But their love is not exclusive only for Krishna. It's not only on one point. We read about Rukmini, and she has Pradyumna as her son, Aniruddha as her grandson. So many family members were there. So Krishna was pleased with the love of the residents of Dwarka, but it didn't drive him mad. He appreciated it, but they couldn't completely capture his mind and drive him insane. As something that is most dear to you can do, especially if it is taken away from you. But the residents of Vrindavan had such exclusive attachment for Krishna. The Mother Yasoda, Nanda Maharaj, all the gopis, all the cowherd boys, their only object of affection was Krishna. They gave up everything else. The gopis give up their loyalties to their family members, to what society will think, social conventions. They give up everything simply to give their heart to Krishna. So this is glorified throughout the Vedas, through all the great sages and all prominent personalities, praise this standard of love that is only available in Vrindavan Dham. Now, the special mercy agent in Vrindavan. How do you acquire the mercy? If you've come to Vrindavan and you want to get the full benefit of being here, the specialty in Vrindavan is the dust of Vrindavan. And this is a very wonderful thing, because we're walking here and there, doing so many things, and always being covered by this transcendental dust. And that dust, just by touching our body, is purifying us. So this is a wonderful point about Vrindavan. I'd like to read a little bit more about that dust. Srila Prabhupada says, in Krishna book, "One who intends to visit Vrindavan should follow the ideal footsteps of a Krura and always think of the pastimes and activities of the Lord. As soon as one reaches the boundary of Vrindavan, he should immediately smear the dust of Vrindavan over his body without thinking of his material position and prestige. Actually, one cannot go to Vrindavan by purchasing a ticket. The process of going to Vrindavan is shown by a Krura." So we see this, we can purchase a ticket and we can get on a plane and we can come here, or we may not even be able to do that. It may be very difficult for us even to do that. But when we come here with our ticket paid, still we want more than just to be here with our body. We want to feel and taste something. And that, we see, doesn't automatically come along with the ticket. It's not that you get your ticket here, okay, you'll have this experience also. When we come here, that depends on our heart and our own internal desire. How much advancement we want to make, how much reciprocation we want to receive from the Dharma, and how much we want to give. Just like we hear that the gopis give everything. So how much do we want to give to Krishna? Proportionately to that, we'll be able to perceive the reciprocation from the Dharma. So then somebody asked Srila Prabhupada about the dust, if the dust satisfied all desires. They said, how is the dust of Vrindavan? They asked him, is it personal, individual, living entities? And Prabhupada said, if you want something from this dust, he was talking in Hyderabad, you can't get it because this dust is material. The dust of Hyderabad, he was talking. He says, but in Vrindavan, even from the dust, if you want anything, it will be delivered immediately. So just by the dust. There are so many exalted personalities also residing in Vrindavan in the form of trees. So we'll also hear about them separately. We'll do a class discussing them, and briefly, because we also want to go visit one who's living not so far from here, who's been living here for a long time, many yugas in fact, not just 100 years or 1,000 years, but living here in Vrindavan since Satya Yuga. So this is a very exalted personality. So we want to, 3 days from now, I've got the exact day, we'll go Friday, I think it is, we'll go there and we'll take darshan of that personality. Actually, the first time I became interested in trees was when my husband came home one time after doing Vrindavan Prigram, the brown Vrindavan, and he said, I met a very special person on my Prigram. He said, I met a very special person and I'd like to introduce you to him. So the next day I said, all right, so we went off together in the afternoon, we're walking and walking and walking, and I said, where do they live? Where do they live? Just soon, coming soon. And we're walking, 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 walking. And I said, where is their ashram? Just coming soon. So we're walking along, and finally we came to just over this side of Vrindavan, just near where the railway track crosses. And there's a peepal tree with the leaves like out the front here of the temple, with the leaves shaped like a heart with a little tail on it. And so he came up to this peepal tree, and he just embraced the tree, and he stood there embracing the tree and said, this is my very old friend. And I said, well, and I said, I was asking him, does he talk to you? Did he talk? I mean, I didn't know who he was talking about when he got to the tree. And I was flabbergasted, and I just stood there. I didn't know what to say. So I just assumed if it was his old friend, it was my old friend, so I also embraced the tree. And I found it was really nice, just standing there holding onto the tree and thinking how special this tree was, that the tree's just standing there. And all the Brajavasis, when they go on Vrindavan Prigamada temple, when the Bengalis come, and they see those trees, and when you come down towards Rupa Goswami's Bhajan Kuti, they go mad. And they start hugging the tree and rubbing the tree and massaging its roots and so many things. So when I had this experience with him, then I became aware that there were so many trees in Vrindavan and that they were also very merciful. But prior to that, I had only had experience that the dust was very special. So then I learned that everything in Vrindavan is very special. So here we read another. Why is the dust in Vrindavan worshipable? Because dust... The Vrindavan dust is not different from Krishna, said Srila Prabhupada. When you take a little dust from Vrindavan Dham, it means that you are taking the dust directly from Krishna's lotus feet. Devotees living in Vrindavan regularly eat a few grains of this transcendental dust whenever they visit Radha Krishna's pastime places, such as Sevakunj, Govardhan Hill, Barshana, Radhakund, or Ramanreti. Some Brajavasis even carry a small bottle of Vrindavan dust whenever they leave the Dham. They add a little sprinkle of it to their meals in order to maintain an intimate contact with Radha Govinda and Sri Vrindavan Dham. Biographers recount that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself regularly ate a few grains of dust that he had collected from the birthplace of his spiritual master, Sri Ishwarapuri. So this is a very powerful thing, and you can easily carry it with you. And you can. And somebody told me, and then I told somebody else, and it turned out to be true, that if you take dust of every day of Vrindavan, you come back to Vrindavan very quickly. So I sometimes just sort of say things, but you don't take, you just say them. So I was taking some Swedish girls on a parikrama, and I guess I told them that. Because then about 3 months later, this girl showed up and she said, "You're right, it really works." She said, "I took dust back when you said that, and every day I was taking dust. And when it came time for them to send all the devotees from Sweden on where Mayapur festival or whatever it was, she said, the temple president said, 'You can't go, because you just went in Kartik, you can't go, you have to stay back.' And then he went and he booked all the tickets, and he didn't even know that he booked a ticket for me. When he paid for all the tickets, he came home and saw, what, there's a ticket for her as well. So then he said, 'I guess you have to go.' So she said, 'It really works.' So if you want to come back quickly, anybody who I've told it to and they've tried it has found that it works. So you should try it also. The dust is so merciful. And we can carry it with us, and in that way we can keep the contact. And I know my husband also, when he travels outside of Vrindavan, he has a tape of the sounds of Vrindavan. And all day, practically, he has that tape playing. He puts it on a tape recorder and he just turns it over and over and over. So he's constantly hearing the sounds of the peacocks and the chirping birds and everything. So he doesn't leave Vrindavan in his consciousness, even when he's in the crowded materialistic places. So it is possible by these different methods, if we have a desire, to keep our touch with Vrindavan very strong. So the dust is very special. When Krishna travelled in the forest with Baladeva and his boyfriends, the reddish powder from his chest fell to the ground of the Vrindavan forest. So the lusty aborigine girls, while looking towards Krishna playing with his friends, saw the reddish kumkum on the ground and took it and smeared it all over their faces. In this way, they became fully satisfied, although they were not satisfied when their lovers were present. So this is a very important point, that satisfaction of all our desires, material and spiritual, can come by the mercy of the dust of Vrindavan. But we have to have some faith, and we have to have some sincere desire to develop love for Krishna. And we may only have a tiny little particle of that, and we may feel we don't have any, but we would like to have it. Or we may feel that we would like to have it. We may be even more indirect than that. I wish that I had the wish to have some love for Krishna. But this is the purpose of coming to Vrindavan, to experience and hear about Krishna's pastimes and to develop a longing to have a relationship with him. Therefore he appears on schedule and he shows his wonderful pastimes with the gopis, with the cowherd men, with his father and mother, to attract all the souls thinking, this is so wonderful, I wish that I could also enter into that. So then, there are other special features in terms, now we're talking externally speaking about Vrindavan, and one of them is that there are 12 forests. So there's something interesting that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur says about these 12 forests of Vrindavan. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur states that the business of the tongue is to gratify itself with varieties of flavor. So we know, Srila Prabhupada has told us, that we have to control our senses, and of all the senses, the tongue. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has also said, the tongue is the most difficult and hard to control. And if we can control the tongue, we can control all the other senses. So there's two ways to control somebody. One is to control them by discipline and tell them, if you do this, I'm going to do this. And sometimes you have to do that by force. And the other one is to control them by satisfying them. If we satisfy somebody very much, then we can control them. The example is given that when Raghunath Das Goswami, his mother and father did not want him to leave and go to Jagannath Puri and join Lord Chaitanya. So his mother was always thinking, how can we keep this boy here? He so much wants to leave. So they had guards posted. They were trying to detain him by force. And then his mother, thinking in her, in the madness of her love for him, she said to her husband, she said, "Why don't we chain him up?" So what kind of love is this? This is material love. If you love somebody, let me chain him up and force him to stay with me. So this was her thinking, and then her husband said, "You foolish woman." He said, "Look, we've given him a most beautiful wife, and we've given him all opulences. He has all of these things. If he's not chained up by these, if he's not satisfied by these, and his satisfaction doesn't make him want to stay, then what will your metal chains do? He will break those and go away very easily." So this is considered another way to satisfy or to control someone. To satisfy them, you can control them. So when we do Brajamandal Parikrama, particularly walk through all of these 12 forests, so Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur states that the business of the tongue is to gratify itself with varieties of flavor. The tongue wants to taste. But by wandering in the 12 holy forests of Brajamandala, one can be freed from the 12 flavors of material sense enjoyment. So this is very interesting. What are those 12 flavors of material sense enjoyment that we can become freed from? Material sense enjoyment. These are the 5 primary rasas that are shared with Krishna and the 7 secondary rasas. 5 and 7 makes 12. The 5 principal divisions of material relationships are neutrality, admiration, servitude, friendship, parental affection, and conjugal love. The 7 subordinate features of material relationships are material humor, astonishment, chivalry, compassion, anger, dread, and ghastliness. Originally, these 12 rasas, or flavors of relationships, are exchanges between the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the living entities in the spiritual world. By wandering in the 12 forests of Vrindavan, one can re-spiritualize these 12 flavors of personal existence, and thus one will become a liberated soul, free from all material desires. So this is real material, this is real liberation from materialism, is to taste the sweetness of these relationships with Krishna by first of all hearing about them. And by hearing and hearing, we grow to develop a natural love to hear these things. And we don't feel satisfied unless we're hearing about Krishna's pastimes. And gradually it converts every aspect of our consciousness, all relationships that we have. We prefer the taste of those relationships in relationship to Krishna. And then the snake of material life, it no longer has a fangs. We can act in this world in loving ways with various relationships with people, but our heart becomes exclusive to our developing our relationship with Krishna. And this is real liberation, and this is real control of the senses, and only this will guarantee us success in our spiritual life. So then, under the other special features, we have the fact that the eternal residents of Vrindavan are considered the topmost devotees, and foremost amongst them are Srimati Radharani and her gopi friends. Also, I was noticing when I was reading to prepare the class that Srila Prabhupada says, I think it's in the Krishna book, that there are thousands of pure devotees wandering in Vrindavan. So this is a very interesting point. There are many liberated souls wandering in Vrindavan, but we don't have access to them. But we should not think that they're not there. We should, if we think like that, then we will have a very limited understanding of the glories of Vrindavan Dham. Now, I missed out on the Parikrama information. So this Braj Mandal Parikrama is held yearly during the month of Kartik. So there are 3 different types of parikrama that you can do in Vrindavan. You can do a parikrama around a temple or a deity. You come to a certain temple, Radha Govinda Mandir, any temple, you can parikrama around that temple. Or you can do the Panch Kosh 10-mile parikrama around Vrindavan, just the city of Vrindavan, the town of Vrindavan. And many devotees prefer to do that on Ekadasi. It takes about, depending on how quickly or how slowly you go, can take between 1 3/4 hours to 5 hours. Depends if you stop on the way and look, this is this as you're going along. And then there's also Chaurasi Kosh, which means the Brajmandal Parikrama, where you walk around the whole 168 miles of Brajmandala. You follow a path that goes all the way around. And unfortunately, I didn't bring the map here. It's down in my room. If I had somebody I could send down to get it, we could. Yes, would you get it? There's also a picture frame. There's some blue tack on it. It's rolled up just near the door. It's Brajmandal. It has Brajmandal written on it. We have a very beautiful map that Kalindi made that shows us all the different main places in Vrindavan. So on Brajmandal Parikrama, you visit almost all of those places by walking, and it takes 1 month. And I remember the first time when I'd come to Vrindavan, it was probably in 1984, it was very early. I used to go and visit, I had a friend in Loy Bazaar, he had a silver shop, and he was a very friendly man, and I used to go and sit in his shop sometimes and chit-chat with him about different things, and ask him, where do you buy this, what is this, why do people do that? You know, and he'd tell me all kinds of little things about how they buy their grains for 1 year in bulk and where they put it and this and that. And this lady, people would go by the shop and he'd do everything from the shop. Anything I asked him to do, he'd say, I can do everything sitting here. So when people would come by, he'd call them and get things arranged just by his sitting there. And he'd point out to me different people who were prominent in the Vrindavan society just as they would go by his shop. So one day we were talking about Vrindavan and he told me some different things and then I said about how wonderful it was to go around Vrindavan, walking around Vrindavan. So he said, oh yes. He said, also there's a parikram that goes all around the whole of Braj. So this is before anyone had any idea of doing something like this. And we Vrindavan parikram was all we did, and we'd go by bus to Nandagram Bhashana. We didn't have access to this particular format of parikram. So I said to him innocently, so how long does it take? And when he proudly smiled, I said, 1 month. I was thinking 2 hours was a long time in the morning to go around Vrindavan. I thought, 1 month? And it was just inconceivable that anyone would allow you to go away for 1 month and just walk for a month. What would you do for a month? You know, I couldn't believe it. And then in 1987, Loknath Maharaj came here some in the beginning of the year. And he made an announcement one day that this year we're going to have the first ever Brajmandal Parikrama. And he started talking about where we'd go, and I said, oh, I heard about that. I already knew about that. So then there was a friend of mine who was staying, her name was Nanda, an old devotee from America. And she was sitting beside me in Bhagavatam class, and we were sitting there, and I was thinking, oh, I have to do that. And she passed me a note, and she said in the note, why don't you build a puppa stage, because that was one of the services I was doing at that time. Why don't you build a puppa stage? We'll put it on the back of a bullock cart. We'll get a generator. We'll put a loudspeaker up on top, and we'll just go. So I said, she said, ask Loknath Maharaj. Thank you, Gayatri. This is fine. Thank you. She said, ask Loknath Maharaj if it's all right. If he'll provide the generator, this loudspeaker, and the bullock cart, we'll provide the puppa stage and the puppets and do everything else. So on her insistence, I sent a note to Loknath Maharaj and asked him what he thought, and he immediately became very enthusiastic and said, yes, it would be very nice. We should go. That's one, okay. So then we prepared the puppet stage and we put it on the back of a cart, and we had an uncommonly bad-tempered bullet and like to walk off the road into the gutter. And it was really quite an experience, and then we packed it all up and we went. And we were a little late starting because of the getting the bullock and the cart and so on. They didn't have a cart right away, and it took some time. So we started the parikrama in Radhakund. We put the cart with the puppet stage, which was very thin plywood, it wasn't very strong, pulled by a tractor, and we chugged off to Radhakund and joined the parikrama there. And so then we went next to Govardhan, which I'll show you after the parikrama course on this map. So we went next to Govardhan, and we got to Govardhan, we realized that sometime we had to really make a performance, which we weren't really prepared to do. We just sort of, you know, it'd be such a rush to get there. So we set up, I think, I don't really know where we were, but I think it was near Govindakund, but it was on the side of Govardhan Hill. And we had two puppet shows in Hindi. One was the story of Madhavendra Puri, how he found the Gopal Deity on Govardhan Hill. And the other one was the story of Sanatan Goswami and the Touchstone. So the first Debu puppet show was on the side of Govardhan. It was at night, about 7 o'clock at night. And in the back was Govardhan Hill. And for this puppet show, we had made a big, like a deity, out of styrofoam of the Gopal Deity and one of Gopinath, Kirachara Gopinath. So as we were setting up all the sceneries and putting them up and tightening them and everything, all the Brajabasis came around. They were all surrounding this little cart, like an island in an ocean of people. And then one lady saw these deities, which we had made. And so then they all started, they were all going like this and bowing down, and they became so devotional immediately. So it was so sweet. And we did the puppet show, and then right after the puppet show, a storm came. And it rained and rained and rained, and we had to pull everything down really fast and pack it all up because it was all water-soluble, and then pack it up with plastic and then chug on to the next place. And it was actually quite an austere experience, but it was the price that we paid to be allowed to go out for that month on Prikram. And from then on, from that 1987 Prikram, every year Lokanath Maharaj has arranged that to go out, that Rajmandal Prikrama. And although it seems like a lot of time to go away from one's temple, it completely changes your heart to spend 1 month walking and chanting and visiting all these places. When you come back, you feel as if this is your home. It's as simple as that. This is your home, and you've got some work to do outside, and you'll be back as soon as possible. And you no longer think, oh, I'm a resident of this country, I'm an Aussie, I'm a this, I'm a that. Forget everything like that. You just think, I'm a resident of Vrindavan. It has such a powerful effect. Because walking, the dust comes, and it comes in your nose, and your mouth, and you're everywhere, completely saturated with the dust of Vrindavan. You go place by place to each of the places, hear the pastimes of that place, pray in that place, get up and walk, and your feet get sore, and it's uncomfortable, but there's so much blissfulness that you don't care for those things. So we therefore can't recommend the Brajmandal Prikrama highly enough for anyone who wants to delve into the actual taste of what is Vrindavan. So then the prominent persons who revealed the Dharma, we have listed here the six Goswamis and their followers and predecessors. So the first persons who came to Vrindavan were actually Lokanath Goswami and Bhurgava Goswami. And they were sent by Lord Chaitanya before the time of the six Goswamis. And they used to wander around everywhere. Lokanath Goswami used to carry his deity with him everywhere in a bag. He found the deities, he excavated the deities from Kandirvan, which is one of the 12 main forests of Vrindavan, near to Nandagram and Barshana, between those two places. And there's their Kishori Kund there. So there's also a Bhajan Kutir of Lokanath Goswami at that place. So he found the deities and carried them and would wander, and they would sleep here, sleep there, ask the Brajavasis, what is this, what is this? And in this way they were doing their work as ordered by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, beginning excavation. But it wasn't until the six Goswamis came, Rupa and Sanatana, that things started to actually appear visibly to be changing. And they also wandered around, and sometimes it is said that they would sleep under the trees, and the trees would reveal to them the pastimes that took place there. So this is how significant, what exalted personalities the trees of Vrindavan are. They're inconceivably great souls. So the Goswamis would wander here and there, and they found everything, as had been originally, the places had been located by Bhajanas, was his name. He was the great-great-grandson of Lord Krishna. And after the time of Lord Krishna, and after he had finished his earthly pastimes, his visible pastimes, this Brajanath was ordered to come here to Mathura and find out, locate the special places and install deities in those places. So So it was he who installed Radha Govinda, Radha Gopinath, Radha Madan Mohan, Banki Bihari, Radha Balava, and many other deities, Vrinda Devi. There are others on that list of deities that were directly installed or established by him. Then over the time of thousands of years, these deities became lost, the places became unknown. Just as we see today, it's very noticeable. You see now that people are buying up all the land, and then they want to build a house here, they want to do something here. So gradually, imperceptibly, the whole Dharma is being covered. When you go to Sevakunj, if you want to go there, you see a small garden, and it has high walls, and you go inside, and there's a few very old trees. But the whole area from there, right down to the Jamuna, was Sevakunj. Radha Damodar was in Sevakunj. That whole district is Sevakunj. And beside that, the next whole area was Nidavan. And now that's maybe 10 times larger, but small garden, similar to Sevakunj, with some very old trees there. So the whole areas are now covered by residences, shops, sometimes cinema houses, and video shops selling all kinds of modern things coming from the West. And the people are becoming covered, and the Dharma is becoming covered. So in the same way, it will take somebody to come in future and say, this is this, and that's that, and used to be here, because everything will be obscured. At the time of the Goswamis, everything was obscured by trees. Now it's obscured by cement. But it is still very difficult to actually find out things properly, unless you go through the information given by the six Goswamis. So then the prominent people who should be worshipped when we approach, when we want to understand Vrindavan, who should we approach? We should approach Vrinda Devi, because she's the predominating deity of Vrindavan. So her mercy is essential. So when we pray to Vrinda Devi, please allow me access to the glories of Vrindavan Dham. She will be merciful and give her mercy to us. We have to approach also Purnamasi or Yogamaya. And Yogamaya, there are deities of Yogamaya, prominent deities in Sanket, which is a place between Nandagram and Barshana. The deity is called Sanket Devi, it's a deity of Yogamaya. And also here at Radha Govindaji Mandir, there's a deity downstairs in a small temple on the side, which is a Yogamaya deity that is believed was worshipped by Sri Rupa Goswami. We have to approach Lord Shiva. Why do we approach Lord Shiva? Because Lord Shiva stands in four places, on the four corners of Raj Mandala, and he guards the Dham, and he doesn't let anyone come in who's undesirable. We can say, oh, so many undesirable people are in Vrindavan, we see murders go on, this happens, so many things happen, people selling non-veg things now, so many things are happening, how come Lord Shiva lets them come in? But we understand, as we were saying in the beginning, that they're living on that thin layer on the top of the Dham. They're not living in Vrindavan. And Srila Prabhupada pointed this out also when he said, do you think that the dogs and the monkeys are living in Vrindavan? And then he said, no. He said, they are not living in Vrindavan. If somebody comes to Vrindavan for sense gratification, he said, they will not be living in Vrindavan. It is not possible. So we're talking on two levels here. We're talking about coming into Vrindavan, meaning coming down the street and staying in the guest house and getting a good room and not being harassed by people. And we're talking also about actually entering into the transcendental essence of what is Vrindavan Dham. So to do that, we need the mercy of Gopishwar Mahadev, Lord Shiva, in his form as Gopishwar Mahadev. And I was hoping that somehow we could get to go to some of these places, but I'm just a little confused how we can do it with such a large number of devotees. We can go to see Kaliya Ghat and see the tree, Kadamba tree there that Krishna jumped off into the Jamuna, because that's in walkable distance from here. But if anyone has any suggestions how we could get to Gopishwar Mahadev, it would be very nice if we could also go see him and see Vamsivat, which is another very important tree. And the last one we have on our list of prominent persons are the trees themselves. The trees can give also their mercy. So for the next 3 days, we'll study first Brindadevi, then we'll study something about Yogamaya. What is Yogamaya? Who is Yogamaya? And what should we ask from Yogamaya? And what is the relevance of Yogamaya to our lives? And then we'll study finally some of these famous trees. So I want to stop here, and I'll show you this Brajmandal map for a minute, and then if we have any quick questions, we can ask them. So you start the Brajmandal Parikrama here in Vrindavan, here, and you walk down here to Mathura. And in Mathura there's 24 bathing ghats. One takes bath in all of those ghats on the bank of the Jamuna and purifies oneself and makes one's prayers and requests, what they want to achieve as a result of taking this vrat to go around all of Vrindavan during Kartik Mass. And from Mathura, we walk down towards Madhuvan, Talavan, and then to Kumudvan. These are three of the main forests of the 12 forests of Vrindavan. They're below Mathura, and this area is called Madhuvan. So then we come from Kumudvan, we walk up again here to Bahulavan, which is the fourth forest that we visit. And of course, we've started with Vrindavan, which is the fifth. From Bahulavan here, we walk over to Radhakund. Then from Radhakund we circumambulate all of Govardhan. We go around Govardhan and we end up staying at Govardhan. Then from Govardhan we cross across Govardhan and we go this way to a place called Dig. And this place Dig is in Rajasthan. Part of Govardhan is Rajasthan and part of it is in UP. So in this place there's not very many known pastimes that Krishna performed. I don't know if there's any. And we walk from Dig. This area is very mountainous, but not really mountains, just high hills. And this is all Badrinath. There's Badrinath and Kedarnath in this area. And from Dig, we're heading towards Kamyavan, which is the next forest that we visit up here. And Kamyavan is the most western point of Braj. And it's a very important, it's the second biggest forest after Vrindavan here. Vrindavan includes, right up here, Nandagram, Varshana, all this whole area, Jabat, all this area, Govardhan is within Vrindavan. Whereas Kamyavan is this area here. And in Kamyavan there are many places to see and take darshan of, so the Parikrama stays there for 2 days, 2 or 3 days, usually in Kamyavan, to visit all those places. Then walking by foot from Kamyavan, we go towards Varshana. And yesterday, or the day before yesterday, we took Parikram to Uchagram. So we pass via Uchagram, we come to Varshana. Then from Varshana, we walk by foot along the road to Prem Sarovar, Sanket, and finally Nandagram. So Varshana, of course, is the place of Radharani. Nandagram is the place of Nanda and Yasoda and Krishna. So these are very. This whole area is particularly surcharged with spiritual pastimes and spiritual energy. And so for the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, they like this area very, very much, just as they like Radhakunda and Govardhan very much. So then we walk from Nandagram towards Koshi, going past Kokilvan, which is one of the 24 forests, not the major 12. We come to Koshi, from Koshi, Shergad, Chata, Chirgad, Tapavan. These are the places where the gopis perform their penances in order to have Krishna as their husband. Tapavan, they prayed, please let Krishna, they worshipped and prayed that they wanted Krishna as their husband. And in Chirgad, Krishna came and satisfied them by stealing their clothes, climbing up on a tree and placing them on the tree, and then asking them to come out one by one to receive them back. So then we come over to the other side. All the forests on this side of the Jamuna are Krishna's forests. And the predominance of pastimes on this side is Madhurya Lila. They're all conjugal pastimes. Even in this area, there are so many nice places and funny stories how Radha and Krishna sometimes they'd wrestle together. And Krishna would, Radharani would tuck up her sari like a dhoti at the back. She'd get all ready to wrestle with Krishna. Then they would fight in such a way, and sometimes by Krishna's arrangement, she'd get him down. And she'd have him down and she'd sit on him and she'd be, and then he'd say, no, but you don't understand. that the rules of this game are that the winner is the one whose nose is up. And all the gopis would get angry at him. You're such a cheater, you know. And in this way they would joke and laugh and play so many games in this whole area. It's so much fun. So on this side, this is more cow herding pastimes, and the moods change. And you can perceive it as you walk. The mood of each place is different. And the residents, the Rajavasis who take their birth in each of these places, have something different as their desire. Some of them want this kind of feeling for Krishna, that kind of feeling. So they have a touch of that in them. So it's very interesting to see the different feelings in the different places. It's not all one. So here is Bhadrava. There's not much known about Bhadrava. It's a very small place. There's just one temple with the Hanumandiri and the Shiva Linga, and that's Bhadrava. Bandirvan is a very nice place. Very many pastimes took place in Bandirvan. It's described in the Srimad Bhagavatam that the story when the cows were stolen away, or they wandered off and the forest fire came and surrounded them, that took place coming from Bandirvan. It describes in the Srimad Bhagavatam Bandirvan at that time. So then coming down here is Bayavan or Bilvavan, which is the place of Sri Devi, Lakshmiji. So she's there doing austerities. And she's been there for a long time. And she sits there, there's a deity there, also from very ancient deity. And she's praying like this and praying and praying. And she wants to come and enter into the pastimes, the Ras Lila, which takes place here on the shore of Jamuna. But she cannot, because she wants to maintain her conception of herself as being, first of all, the wife of Narayan. She can't come because she has this Aishwarya mood, but she is Lakshmiji, the wife of Narayan. To enter into the pastimes of dancing with Krishna, all the gopis have to become very, they're married to cowherd men. They know how to make cow dung patties. As you see, when you go past, you see them all laying out in the sun. And when we're in Barshana, you see the young girls with a big handful of cow dung. And their hands are all smelling and dirty by our standards, and they're carrying it home like it's gold or something. So Lakshmiji didn't want to do that. She didn't think it was appropriate to her position. So because she didn't want to do those simple village things, she could not have the abhiman or the conception that she was like a Braj gopi. So she was ineligible to join the Rasa Lila. So she would stay over there praying, and Krishna gave her the benediction that she could become a golden streak on his chest. But she could not dance with him and enjoy pastimes in the loving mood that the gopis could do. So we go there, then Mansarovar, which was created from the tears, the angry tears of Radharani. When Krishna, she heard that Krishna had been with another gopi. So she became so angry, she crossed the Jamuna, she sat down there and she cried and cried, and the sarovar there is the result of her tears. So Mansarovar, then there is Vohavan, and then we come to Ravel. Actually we go around this way as far as I remember. Those who've done it can correct me. I think we go down to Dalji, back to Gokul, and up to Ravel. And then we finish in Ravel and cross over to Mathura. So this is takes 1 month of just walking and walking. And when you come back, the devotees, some years they come back for Prabhupada's disappearance day. And I remember when we came back, and I walked into the guest house lobby, and I thought I was in Delhi. It was so shocking, you know, all the different things that were going on, and because all you're doing is chanting, 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 praying, 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 day after day, and then you come in and there's all this people selling things and laughing and joking and in and out of the restaurant, and you think, what's going on here? So this is the contrast that you feel when you leave that place. And usually, at least it was my experience, that the second half you feel this terrible sinking feeling as you're walking, that this is going to be over soon. What am I going to do when this is over? And when we went, I remember that one day we were out walking and all there was dust and sand and a few trees, and we're walking miles and miles like that. And an aeroplane went over, and I'm standing looking at it, thinking, that's an aeroplane. Wow. Even here, they, you know. And then I thought, yeah, never mind. And kept walking because it just seemed totally irrelevant and inconsequential to the experience. So these are some of the special features of Sri Vrindavan Dham. And these are some of the ways in which we can enter. By parikrama, by hearing, by chanting these bhajans, this Jai Radhe, Jai Krishna, Jai Vrindavan, with feeling. And if we have no feeling, we can wish to have feeling. And if we have no wish for feeling, we can wish that we wish to have feeling. And find some level of sincerity. Right, Dadu? And from there we can go up.
So, we have that obstinacy.
Huh?
We have that obstinacy.
By no means will we stop.
I haven't.
I don't believe you. We know you well, Dadu. We know you have so much obstinacy.
You are obstinate about crazy.
Dadu is one of our beloved senior residents here. We have so much affection for him. So we should pray to Vrindavan Dham that here we are here. Please give us your full mercy that we can taste something and have some realization. So I think we're running late as usual, and probably as usual we have no questions. So if there are any questions, they can be asked. Otherwise we should all quickly go to the Sandhya Aarti. Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Yes. Yes. I don't know. I've heard them different. Dina Bandhu would know those things. Dina Bandhu is our authority on all sorts of little details. When he comes, you can check with him. Any other questions, quickly? Oh, did everybody write their name on our admission on our attendance sheet and put a little tick? Because otherwise, nobody believes anyone came. Very important. Brajbihari will chastise me. Please write your names and give it a tick. Where is the sheet? Okay, can you make sure that it's been able to everyone? Krishna Das will take care of this. Go stand by the door with a pen. There you go. Jai, Sri Vrindavan Dham ki jai, Sri Braj Mandala Dham ki jai, Gaur Premanandi, Hari Hari Bol.